Kaf Kuf Yud Aleph. Klal Samach Gimel. Let's start from the top line, nearly. Okay, on the top line, it's the fourth word on the line. That's approximately up to. Not exactly, but close enough. Nearly. Let's run through some halachas quickly. No, loosely else. Nearly. The mutal lema lenachu shiachal lebehem toyafil lekatan litzarich Yisrael. You're allowed to tell a guy to feed your animals. Okay, just go to basic halachas. Get some. Even though a lot of these things are not relevant for us, we don't have animals. We don't have sheep and cows and animals that need to be fed in wild. But the concepts are timeless. You're allowed to tell a guy to go take your animals and feed, and you tell you're allowed to tell a guy to bring food for your animals. Even if a small animal, which means a small animal is not able on its own to go out to pasture to get food for itself. And the reason why you're allowed to tell a guy to go do a malacha d'araisa, to cut grain, to cut off aspasta, to cut something from the ground to feed your animals, because technically speaking, you don't need him to do you this malacha. If you really want, you can send your animals out to the field. The animals themselves can fend for themselves. So this is a principle, which is a very important principle in the laws of Amir Yaakov, that if you can do it without the guy, if the results can be achieved without the guy doing malacha on your behalf, that is a leniency in even asking the guy to do for you the malacha. That was the class that we mentioned many times, that if the guy goes and he turns on the lights for you, he turns mom, she comes in only for you, he comes from the other end of the world on Shabbos to turn the lights on for you, and I don't need you. I already have the emergency light. I have enough light in the bathroom and whatever. I have enough light. I can sit here the whole day. It's not necessary for you to do the malacha. Even if he does, he enhances your experience by turning on the lights. You are allowed to derive benefit because I really could have done whatever I needed to do without. He just enhanced my experience. On the other hand, if it's a pitch black room, the room is black, it's a closet, there's nothing you cannot see whatsoever, and the guy goes in, he turns on the light, so I cannot.
What if it's for a short time?
What?
What if it's for a short time? I have the candles burning, so I can reach for the candles. But you're going to go out.
So we learned that since the moment when he did it, at the moment, he I don't need you for this moment in time, even though it's like a loophole, even though it extends to a later point in time, I think he presented two opinions on that. But I think he pretty much said it's okay. It's mutter, because right now, this moment, this period of time, you don't have to look into the future. Right now, the goy is doing for you malacha now, and right now I do not need him. So good. So I can derive benefit. Oh, but now what he's doing is going to extend into the end of the day. That's okay. That's okay, because at the time when the goy did the malacha, at that moment in time it was not necessary. It's only a secondary benefit. And with regard to the laws of Mir Yaakov, we're not makbid on outgrowths or secondary actions.
I mean, I'm not
going to
die if he doesn't make the food.
So, if you don't need it, that's what we discussed with the Kiddush. That's what we discussed. If you don't need what he's preparing for you, then you're allowed to eat it. That's right. But if what he is doing is the only food I'm going to have, then you're not allowed. You're right, exactly. The same thing would apply. It's a vague area. Where do you apply the rule? Where you do not? I don't know exactly. In a simple Buddha called Sefer, so I went through it already. I have to do it again because every time I come upon something, I tell it to you already. So I already went through almost everything there that I found was relevant. But there are some gray areas where you have to make a decision. Like usually, as is the case, you cannot generalize. That's a rule. Every situation is unique. And what applies in one case does not always apply in another case. So, Kevin, here let's go further. The lines, Kevin, Shabahim, Ahaisi, Cholelech, Lasham. Here is the principle. Since the animal on its own can go there, for Lechem and Amuchabar, therefore it's not necessary for you to do the malacha. So, if he does the malacha, you're not really doing anything. The Chiddush over here is even Lekatan. So, I guess that means that a small animal. Even a small animal, b'shas hatchak, you can send out into the field to eat, to get food for itself. Even though you would think I wouldn't do that, a small animal is vulnerable.
No,
likta means to cut.
No, to collect.
Oh, likta means, I'm sorry, okay, my foolishness, my ignorance. Okay, likta means to collect, I'm sorry. Afilu im likton, if he collected it, I'm sorry. I didn't read it right, I'm sorry. Likton litzarech yisra, I'm sorry. I'm a foolish, big old chiddush, old shtickle Torah. You don't even know the word, the translation of the word. Okay, I do it all the time. Further, Yeah, well, what will you say? The famous
story with the Rambam.
Well, with who?
They tell a story. A guy comes to El Mamet.
Oh.
Tosa. What do you want? He says, I had a whole shot.
Ganz Stickel Teure.
Ganz Stickel Teure for an hour and a half. And he's present to the Rambam. Rambam says,
Toast at Fuss.
Toast
at Fuss. I think it's a phrase. I remember that, yeah. What about a guy bringing water? It's Lach of the Rice, he's taking from a well. A well is a Rosh Hashayachid to your home. It's from a Rosh Yachid to a Rosh Saram, from a Rosh Saram to a Rosh Hashayachid, in a place where the animal itself can go out to the well and draw water itself. Af al gav shemilon nachi b'shvil Yisrael mutter, it is permitted. To tell a guy to collect grass, in other words, if you collect the grass, I guess this assumes over here in a situation where I'm assuming he means where the animal cannot do it. That is an iser deraisa. It's osav lebalo lemalas ma'ame be'er nami osar. Then ein lebehem shum davar lachol v'lo shibolash oish artvua ein limchais be'elu shaimim l'ktsa asavim. The mutav sheyiyu shaygin, the better they be shaygin value who may zin v'yomishum tsar balechayim. Okay, so he writes over here that if there is only way the animal can eat, the only possibility for the animal to have a lunch is by the guy being machal Shabbos, and you have to ask the guy to do melacha to be machal Shabbos for the property of a Jew. He basically writes that me'ikar hadin, it is osur, but the animals are in tsar. Tsar Bale Chaim, so he seems to say at face value is that the Isser Amirul Akum trumps the halacha of Tsar Bale Chaim. So your animals will suffer, so they'll suffer. That's the way it is. Halacha doesn't always work out well for the animals. So the animals will suffer. You're not allowed to tell the guy to do malacha to avoid the tsar of your animals. However, if not everyone knows the halacha, and there is an individual who does not know the halacha, and he tells the guy to do it, don't make a macha. Let him tell the guy, because number one, the whoever you tell this to is not going to listen to you anyway. Motav sheyiyu shaygin v'yadiyu mezidin. Number two, mishum tsar balichaim. So he seems to indicate that there may be indeed some grounds of leniency that mishum tsar balichaim, you're allowed to tell a guy to do a milacha. Just like for your tsar, you're allowed to tell a guy do milacha b'di'aved. If you're cold, if you're hot, where a person suffers a significant tsar, you are allowed to tell a guy to do malacha. So to b'sha satchak, you're allowed to tell a guy to do malacha for tsar balechayim. Avli me'ev shol ha'asig shibola shul otz. Af api shetzoch lefazer harbi dam, even if those who cost a lot of money, v'afilu shetzoch hanachui lohaviu derech reshus rab shalanu. Also, loymar liktzer asavim, if you have an oat, the guy can bring oats, which is expensive, even though he's going to pass through a Rishus Harabim. Now it seems Shalonu, when he says Shalonu, it seems to mean that it's not a Malacha D'Oraisa. He's referring to his roads in his day, the Chai Adam, which were definitely not a Rishus Harabim D'Oraisa. So then you should tell the guy to do this, because this is a much better method, because cutting grain from the ground is an Isser D'Oraisa, and carrying in a Carmelis or a Rishus Haram D'Rabba, like we don't have to, in his times, there was no such thing as a Rishus Haram D'Raisa, that is only Nisim D'Rabbanan, then that's better. So therefore, also Lema Liksar Asavim De'ine L'Shvus Echad, it's only an Isser D'Rabbanan, not an Isser D'Raisa. Ava L'Havi'an, but to bring them, is better, to cut them is Asser, it's why but L'Havi'an, but to bring them, the have a Shvus D'Shvus. But he's only going to bring them. He's not going to cut it. If you can tell him to cut it, cutting is nisa deraisa. Amir liyakum is nisa derabanan. So then you're telling a guy to malacha deraisa, that's an isa derabanan. But to tell a guy to do an isa derabanan, that's a shvus to shvus. So that is preferred. V'yamnam bein loyma lemalas mayim v'kol shchein liksar asavim. Also yos mimash tzarech lechol pam echas b'yamim bolvad. In a situation where you have no choice and you have to let the guy do the malacha, only do it once a day, you now let it go and do more than you need. Kedilel b'klalun test, v'ali de Yisrael li'oil amos, it goes without saying that a Jew under no condition is allowed to cut grain from the ground to do a malacha deraisa to feed an animal. You now let it do a malacha deraisa to feed yourself, Alachas kam v'kamo, you now do melacha deraisa, and even the melacha derabanan to feed your animals. Halacha yud, nachu shetzod dog b'shabbes. New halacha. A guy who does the melacha deraisa of tzeda, a likaid peros hamchabar mitzarcha, who collects fruit that is attached. Melacha deraisa, he pulls fruit off the tree. Afilu einim akirai, and he does this for his own purpose. And you do not know who this guy is. Asurin afilu betiltol, because this is noilat. Mishare afilu perish anoishim me'atzam b'shabbos asum shema yale v'yitloish. Because he may, so he doesn't say because of Mazanak, because Yale, he may ascend the Yilosh, and he may go and, I guess, trap more fish. It was trapped by itself, also Shoheim Noilat. Okay, so he does say the word, he mentions this concept of Noilat. Peros, which fall off the tree by themselves, Peros, the halacha is, Peros which have fallen off the tree by themselves on Shabbos, one is not allowed to derive benefit from those fruits. They're muksa. Why are they muksa? So I thought it was because of noilat. So you say it's not noilat. It's because shemayala special gzera shemayala v'yitlash. That's what it says over here. And nitzoid, he says, is noilat. Nitzoid is noilat. Fish that have been trapped by themselves. That's what he says over here. I'm not sure.
I think Shari Noilat is referring to both of them, but I think he uses
both of them. Also Noilat. Why is cutting or taking a fruit off a tree Noilat? The fruit is here. The fruit, the Noilat is typically when it doesn't exist.
So is the
yeah, the fish is not Noilat.
The fish is not here. The fish is swimming in the sea. The fish is swimming in the sea. You have to trap it. Trap it. Who says you will succeed? Who says the fish? There are too many conditions. Noilat is a very vague principle. There's noilat bidei shamayim, noilat bidei adam. There are many factors that go into noilat. But noilat, okay, I don't know.
What noilat means.
What?
What is noilat?
Okay, I'm not sure. But in any event, there's a special halacha. One thing he makes is very, very clear, that if a fruit falls off a tree, if an apple tree and an apple falls off on Shabbos, the halacha is you are not allowed to derive benefit from the apple because even though, let's say you would say it's in front of us, there's no noilat, it's right here. So now it's detached. It's just a lumnus, it's detached. There's a gzera. If I will eat from a fruit that fell off the tree on Shabbos, I may come the next Shabbos, or even this Shabbos, to pull a fruit off a tree. This principle applies even if the goy takes the fruit off the tree. So if the goy takes the fruit off the tree on Shabbos, the same takana applies. I may come to pull a fruit off a tree. If the fish is trapped on Shabbos, I'm not allowed, even not by a goy, by itself. There's a trap, I set the trap of Shabbos, and on Shabbos, the trap catches the fish. I won't eat the fish. It's forbidden because of noilat, because the fish did not exist in this vicinity when Shabbos began. It first swam here and came into this location and was trapped. There were too many things which happened. So therefore, if a goy does this, it's no worse. If a goy does this, a goy doing this is no different than if it would have happened by itself. The examples when we permit for you to derive benefit from a goy is where there are no other gezeirois and there's no issue of noilat. When we call makayim, what about having benefit from these things? Mitzvah Shabbos, Mikol Mokam, Limotzoy Shabbos, Muton Miyad, you do not need to enumerate the person, you have to wait, Bechdei Sheyeh Osu. The amount of time it takes to have done this, you have to wait. So you do not need to wait in these instances. Therefore, if a fruit falls off a tree on Shabbos, you can eat it immediately. On Shabbos is over, if the fish was caught on Shabbos, you can eat immediately. Likewise, if a goy does the malacha and pulls it off the tree, if the goy does the malacha and traps the fish, you can eat it, derive benefit. Therefore, what's the nafkamin halach lemaisa? You may not purchase from a goy. Peros calls man sheyesh b'minan b'mechubar, because there's a concern, there's a possibility that. That they detached noila afilu beir shakula nachrim v'yadu bevadesh to nasim melacha b'shvil Yisrael. You're not allowed to acquire on Shabbos. I'm assuming over here mean liknois mina nachrim. I guess it means to.
Okay, what does that mean?
Liknois. So I guess it means on credit. Because otherwise mitzvah Shabbos is mutter. Otherwise on Shabbos is mutter. So I'm assuming it means over here is you're going to buy. You're not going to go through the formal transaction credit. That's mutter in certain situations where you go and you take whatever you want, and then the guy, he trusts you. He trusts you that he will go and you'll pay him mitzvah Shabbos for what you have taken. They did this in hotels. They did this in hotels. They did take whatever they used to do these things. And what?
But last week we were learning that you cannot do something from him if he will. Then assume next week you want
right.
Shabbos.
Right, so he'll do it for you. So let's assume that in this situation it's not. Let's make the assumption that issue in this case does not apply. There's
well, if
no.
You don't know the guy. Why would he do it for you next week?
No, just maybe there's just a store. Maybe there's just a shop outside. So he's selling to the Mahamoinam, and he lets people take on credit. He lets people take on credit, and then they're not going to have any more food if you come, if you do not come. There's a certain amount of food you're not going to, and there's no issue that he's going to do in the Shabbos. But if you have a store and they deliver fresh fruit every single morning, and there's a very real possibility that this fruit has been detached from this tree on Shabbos, you come after davening is over, 12 o'clock, and in the store they have fruit. They have fruit, and there's a real possibility that this fruit was plucked off the tree this morning. You're not allowed. Even forget about the guy did not do it for you. The guy did it for himself. There's an issue of noilat. There's a gezera with regard to fruit. You're not allowed to eat fruit that has been removed from a tree on Shabbos because of exil. You yourself may come to do it off the Shabbos the following Shabbos. Forget about the issue, the prohibition of Amir Yaakov. Halach yiraf, aval nachri, sha'asim malacha b'shvil Yisrael. Let's say he does malacha, now we're going to, until now we discussed the case where the guy did not do it for the Jew, he did it for himself. What happens if he does it specifically for the Jew? Im hi malacha deraisa. Also, l'chol yishol l'chonetz me'oitz malacha ad mitzvah Shabbos b'chdei she'yaseh oitz malacha. If a guy does the malacha for a Jew on Shabbos, I'm doing it for the Jew, and the Jew, of course, may not derive benefit on Shabbos, the Chil Shabbos was involved. So here we learn the Chumrah, that even when Shabbos is over, you're not allowed to derive benefit. You have to wait the amount of time it will take for the Melacha to be done, because if you derive benefit immediately when Shabbos is over, it is still considered being Neneh from Chil Shabbos. Only because this was done on Shabbos did it save you time. Time is also something, a commodity. It's also something which counts as far as the prohibition. So let's say from place he traveled on Shabbos, which is Aser. The amount of time that it takes the rider to transport it via Mahal. So let's say I would bring it. I go. How do I go? I don't know. I can't afford to go by plane. I have to go by car. I have to go by bus. I have to walk. So if this fruit was transported from New Jersey, or let's say from Boston. From Boston to New York. So how did it come? How did they pluck it off the tree in Boston 9 o'clock in the morning and have it arrive over here at 12 o'clock in Brooklyn? They flew. They went on the Boston shuttle. They flew, and the Boston shuttle can cost, I don't know, when it's not no discounts, can cost $200-$300. They want to rip you off. You can go $200-$300. I can afford to splurge $200. I'll drive. Paying gas and tolls will cost $75. So to drive will take me 5 hours. To go by plane, for the amount of time it takes them, it took them 2 hours, so 1 hour. So when Shabbos is over, how much time do I have to wait in order to derive benefit? Do I have to define the amount of time, how much it takes me to do the same exact thing? Or how much time it took the goy to do this? He did it very quickly in 1 hour. Sus! If I would do it, it would take me much longer. It would take me 5 hours. You don't have to wait more than 1 hour. The amount of time that it would take the guy to do this malacha in Tzach Lahabdin Ela Bechtei Sheyavi Reichev via Mahalech. If the guy did it, he walked Mahalech. Kadesh Lo Yehene Mi Melech HaShabbos. All define what the guy himself did. If the guy drove and I would fly, it's too bad for me. I have to wait 5 hours because that's what the guy did. We're afraid that in the next Shabbos you'll tell the guy do it. If we allow you this Shabbos to derive benefit from Shabbos immediately, there is a concern. Next Shabbos, you'll tell the guy on Shabbos to do the malacha so it should be ready when Shabbos is over. So in other words, there's no traveling. There is no transportation at night. Shabbos. It's now 8 o'clock at night. 8 o'clock at night, there are no planes. There are no cars. There are no buses. There are no trains. There is no mode of transportation. So therefore, how long did it take the guy to do this? It took the guy 1 hour. But it took the guy 1 hour during the time when the roads are open, when the airport is open. But now at 8 o'clock at night, the roads are open. So therefore, even if the guy would want to do it at this moment in time, he would not be able to do it because the roads and the airport is closed. So therefore, someone has suggested you have to wait until tomorrow morning, until Sunday, until when the airports once again are open, and you can repeat the process. So I'm not going to be able to do it until tomorrow. The earliest time would be tomorrow, 12 o'clock. Or let's say Sunday, the airports are closed. It's a legal holiday. So you have to wait until Monday. And if Monday is Columbus Day, or Monday is Thursday coming up, it's Thanksgiving. So then you're going to have to wait until... You're going to have to wait. That's a very, very big chumrah in Bichdei Sheyasu. How long do you have here to love this? What exactly is Bichdei Sheyasu? Does it depend upon how long it would take you to do it? Or does it depend upon how long it actually took the guy to do it? For better or for worse? The halacha is how long it took the guy to do it, for better or for worse. And when does the clock start? The clock starts exactly when Mitzvah Shabbos ends. And do you have a lumdis? You have to say, well, if the guy would try to do it now, he could not do it because of the conditions are not available to do it. So you have to wait until tomorrow or the next day. Some say in Echnami, some are machmi, you have to wait. In Echnami, you have to wait a whole day, that if the guy would first have an opportunity to do it all over again, he would be able to do it for real, not just theoretically. Halach Yubes. Af al gav de kaim lon sav rabon lekula kaven shehu dovet shiyesh le matiden sharei le moitzei shabbos yemutu azin gam besfeikon lechumah very big chumah emil yakum. We have a principle, Safik Drabon Lakula. I do not know if the guy did this for me or not. You come in and you see over here you have the urn, last night the urn was off. It was off. And this morning the urn is on. The hot water is ready to go. A delicious cup of coffee awaits me. Am I allowed to drink to use this hot water? There was a person here in the home. I have help in the home. And the person came here in the morning, they left. They came here, let's say there was an aide, whatever there was, the person over here was in the house, Maisha, whatever it was, and they obviously they plugged the urn in. There's no way, no question about it. The question is, why did they plug the urn in? I do know as a fact that sometimes they want hot water. The person that was here occasionally makes for themselves a cup of coffee. So they turned on the urn in order to make a cup of coffee for themselves. But sometimes they don't. And they know the whole routine. They know that I'm Jewish. They know that I ask them to do things for them. So maybe they turned the urn on specifically for me. So what am I supposed to do now? It's early in the morning. The water is on. The hot water is on. I have no way of knowing if the guy did this for me or the guy did not do this for me. If he did it for me, it's osser. It's now tzach mitzvah, I'll survive, I'm not a chayla, all of the coolest do not apply in this case. The guy was mechal Shabbos for me, even though I did not ask him, doesn't matter. He did it for me, but maybe not. There's a 50-50 chance the guy did not do it for me, he did it for himself. So what do you do? So we have a rule, sveika d'rabbanan l'kula. Amira la'akum, not deriving benefit from a guy, is only nisa d'rabbanan. So it's sveika d'rabbanan. So let us be lenient. So the answer is no. We don't say sveika d'rabbanan l'kula when we're dealing with a davar sheyesh loy matir, because this water you can. It's a strange. The case I gave you is a little bit of a strange case, but it says over here you don't say these machmer. It's a davar sheyesh loy. The water is not going to go to waste. The water will be available tonight. The water will be available tonight when Shabbos is over. You'll have the same water. I don't need that water. I'll take other water. It won't be fresh anymore. It'll be fresh.
Put it on, add his coffee, turns it off. Can you then take advantage of that hot?
Yes, certainly. Absolutely.
That would be no fun.
Certainly. If you turn it off, it goes to show you the Mamash Shabbos. So you want to go take Gzunda, you want to take the leftovers? Oh, absolutely. That's like the biggest gilui. That's the greatest revelation that, better than your case. Because your case, he came in to go to turn the light for the liquor. And then he walked out, he turned off the light. So here he's talking, he turned it off, but the water is still hot. The water is still hot for another hour or two. So of course, that's the greatest gil that it's mutter. But
why
the suffix...
Why is the argument that Dovash Yesh Lai Matir, and that's a reason to answer it? You would think that should be a reason to be mad. Because it's the Dovash Yesh Lai Matir in any way, and it's the suffix Rabbanon, so...
So why be Nene Be'isser when you can be Nene Be'heter? Why should I derive benefit from the water?
Don't know that.
The water is not really a good case because I'm going to spill out the water anyway. I'll take new water. I don't need this water. I'll take other water. Let's say he makes a pair of shoes. He makes for you a pair of shoes. So can I wear the shoes on Shabbos? So if I tell you no, you can't wear the shoes on Shabbos, but you can wear these shoes tomorrow, Sunday. So just wait. When a guy does a melacha for a Jew, the object is not usher forever. It's mutter when Shabbos is of Bichdei Sheyasu. So the shoes are not going to go to waste. They'll be used tomorrow. Since they're going to be used tomorrow, you have no right to use them today. Even though today it's a suffix, any time when it's davar, we will anyway become mutter at a later point in time. You're not allowed to take advantage of the situation prematurely and be lenient. Only time we hold that a suffix is mutter is where it's going to remain in the state of limbo forever. We don't know, is this kosher or is it not kosher? And if there's a suffix, and if we're going to be machmir, it's going to go in the garbage. Because the suffix will never, ever be resolved. If it will never be resolved, and it's only a suffix derabbanan, you can be lenient. But if this suffix will be resolved by time, mashe yaseh hazman, lo yaseh haseichel, so it will be resolved in time, so therefore it's awesome. So that's what we're saying over here in this halacha. Azin gam b'segin, afil suffix nilkat, v'nitzad b'shabbos, amir of Shabbos, even if we do not know you have fish, and you have grain that has been detached from the ground, and you do not know if it was caught on Shabbos or not, osur bo bayom, you're not allowed to eat this grain or eat this fish, because you can eat this fish tonight, mitzvah Shabbos. Avon, mitzvah Shabbos, mutter miyod. Now here's a chiddush. Being that it's a sofek, that's an advantage. The advantage is you don't have to wait b'chdei shiyaseh. If it was vadai, the guy did it mamish for you, be'isser, the guy did it for you, then you're not dead. When it comes Mitzvah Shabbos, you have to wait. You have to wait b'chdei shayas. How long would it take the guy to do this malacha? And we have the chumrah that if he can't do the malacha now because the time of the day is not the time when the malacha is done, you might have to wait until tomorrow morning until he can do the malacha. But when you're dealing with a situation where it's a safek, I do not know if the guy did this for me or not. So even though the suffix is not, even though it's a suffix, you would think that you should mutter on Shabbos with machmir to davar sheyesh loy matirin. Being that it's only a suffix, you do not have to wait after Shabbos at all. Immediately when Shabbos is over, you're allowed to derive benefit mutter miyot. V'chein afilu im yadua bevadeh shenaseh b'Shabbos el sheyesh suffix and a suffix masa b'shul yishol. You know who's on Shabbos. Same idea. You do not know the difference. You're not im l'tzach mitzvah. So here's another leniency. If it was done l'tzach mitzvah mutter miyot, if it's l'tzach mitzvah, it's mutter right away. The suffix loy machmir lahamtin b'chol b'chdei sheyaseh. If you need it mitzvah Shabbos, the goy did it be'issa. The guy did it, the iser, you don't know, and now when Shabbos is over, you want to use it. If you want to use this object when Shabbos is over for a mitzvah, like Malava Malka, you can be Nekel. The Misavik loy machmiron lahamtin bechadol bechle shiasu. Al b'la b'lafach yesh lahachmi kadas apoiskim lahach bezet shach lahamtin bechle shiasu. So he says that in this case, I made him say it, and he said it correctly. There are two different types of sfeikas. Savik number one is, two that he's mamash mechal, he's splitting hairs. Two sfeikas. Savik number one is, was the malacha done on Shabbos? I don't even know if we did it on Shabbos. He may have done it on Friday, he may have done it on Shabbos. That is a much greater leniency. If you don't even know if it was done on Shabbos, then Motzoi Shabbos, you can be nene miyat. Shabbos, you can't be nene. It's a davar sheyesh loy matirin. Let's say Yevadai, he for sure did it on Shabbos. No question about it. But the question is, did he do it for me? Or he did it for himself? So then you have to wait Motzoi Shabbos b'chdei sheyaseh. The only leniency is that if you need this object for a Dvar Mitzvah Mitzvah Shabbos, I want to make Malava Malka right now, then since you do not know it was a suffix, if he did it for you, he did it for himself, you can be Nene immediately, you do not need to wait Mitzvah Shabbos, Bechdei Sheyaseh. So it's Mechalek between two different types of Sekas. Was the Malacha done on Shabbos or not? Number two, did the guy do it for me or did he not do it for me? Two different types of sefikas. The second suffix is more chomer. The first suffix is more lenient. Nearly, dimu suffixim nitsa b'vulchal hayoyim gam suffixim who tzorchus. Now we combine you a sfek sfeka. Let's now combine the two together. I do not know if it was done on Shabbos or done on Friday. And even if it was done on Shabbos, maybe he did it for himself, a sfek sfeka. L'kuli alma ein tzorch laham d'mechdei shiyaseh. That's a given. You don't even really need to come on to the second suffix. Because the second suffix, because you already have the first suffix, but he's saying, for certainly, since we have a sfek sfeka, there's no question when Shabbos is over, you do not need to wait b'chdei shiyaseh. But notice, on Shabbos itself, he's machmer, you can't be nene. You have the water was turned on. I don't know. Did the guy turn on Friday? Did he turn on Shabbos? And even if he turned it on Shabbos, maybe he turned it on for himself. He wanted his own cup of coffee. It's a sfek sfeka. So what do you want from me? Let me be nene from the water. The Chai Adam says you can't. You can't be netter from the water because maybe this chil Shabbos. Aber it's a sveik sveika. It's a davar sheyesh loy matirin. This water's the heat that has been applied to this water has become mutter at a later point in time. When Shabbos is over. So mele he's machme. He holds you can't even buy a sveik sveika. Nachri shevi davar li sholol shevi limkar. A guy brings you a gift. Or he brings something to sell to you. Haridina kivada nilkar b'shvil Yisrael. So certainly he went. He did it for the Jew. The mistama maybe minha mishubachin. So he's bringing you grain. You have a suffix. Now he's discussing of your situation. This is an outdated question because we don't live in such a society. But lu yitzuya, he gives you a delicious apple. He brings you an apple. So when did he cut the apple off the tree? Let's assume now there is no Erev issue. There is no Erev issue, okay? There is an Erev. There's no Rishus HaRabim. And he shows up at your front door and here is a delicious apple. So what's the question in your mind? Very nice, you're giving me a gift. When did you pull the apple off the tree? Today or yesterday? If he has the ability to pull the apple off the tree today, we have to assume for sure he pulled it off the tree today. Because if he's giving you a gift, the assumption is he gives you the best. You give the best, fresh. And fresh means you pulled it off the tree today. If he's selling you something, business, commerce, you want to give your best stuff, make a good impression, we have to assume he did it today if you have a suffix. I don't know. This is a consideration. This is an additional factor which tilts the scale to say that Vadai, he did it today.
You're asking him help?
Not necessarily. Because he'll lie to you. He'll lie because it will make it worse. If he'll ask him, when did you pull off the tree? He'll say, today. Today, because he wants. Let's say he'll say that yesterday. Maybe he thinks he knows the halachas. He went to the shir.
That's the
whole idea of being Messiah with people. Too much. You don't really trust the rabbi. But let's say you can tell that it stinks. You see that it's not fresh. You see it's not fresh. Today, I don't know how you're going to. You have to invent a new case today to make this relevant. From yesterday, but the way the conversation, he's not speaking to you. You can tell that he's being sincere. From just natural mood. But if he knows the halacha, then watch out. Then you have to assume he's trying to manipulate your mind. Halacha tezvav. The laws of Tchum are more lenient than the laws of Shabbos. Tchum is only a loisaseh. Whereas all of the malachas, is Rishus HaYachad, Rishus Rami Zachiv Kares. So the question is, when a guy brings something from outside the Tchum, do we apply the same prohibition of Amir Liakam? The Tchum is an Isser Lav. Whereas all of the Lamites Malachas is an Isser Kores, Isser Skila. So telling a guy to bring something outside the Tchum, what is Halacha? So generally there's no difference. Generally there is no difference, but a suffix might be a difference. Davar she'ein b'chshash Malacha el shuvim b'chus Tchum. Imu b'ir shiruba nachim she'mestamat l'tzacharoiv maybe or she'iduot l'shem b'shul atzma mutar afil b'boi b'byam. Okay, and that if you know that the guy did it for himself, that for sure it's mutar. U'michal makim osa l'tatal chutz l'arba amos im'eino imukim m'chitza oy she'tiknu oysa b'tzuras ha'pesach. So if the guy brings it from outside the tchum for himself or for his friends, and now you want to derive benefit, gezun to hate. However, this object still is outside its tchum, so you may not move this object more than dalid amos. Okay, so you may not move the object. The guy brings something very, very far away, and there's no chil Shabbos because he did it for himself, and they don't want to be nena. So, and it's lying in the street. He brings it to my house. He brings it into my house. My house is all one big dalet amos, and there is no erev. Assume there is no erev, so I cannot take this. I can't take this out of my house because he can't carry it on Shabbos. So you have to say, how you have hechatim, so we'll be able to carry more dalet amos. Anyway, you can't carry on Shabbos. Yom Tov, maybe Yom Tov. What? A next door a mother, but it's a mother. It's all $1 amos. So maybe it means Yom Tov. I'm not sure what the case is. Maybe you have another guy take it for you. You ask another guy to take it for you to travel it. an object is koine shvisa. So since it was brought from outside the tchum, when it arrives in this location, it may not move more than dalet amos. If it's in one bayis, the whole bayis has the status of dalet amos. If there's an eruv in the community, the whole eruv is called one big dalet amos. There's nevsha kol eruv kar amos. Al b'sech arba amos mutol afil la meachil kibor b'chol kamon. But if the guy brings something outside the tchum, you're and over here, and there's no chol shabbos as far as you're concerned because he did it for himself, you're allowed to eat it, you're allowed to touch it, you're allowed to move it, but you may not move it more than dalet amos if it's outside the tchum. Allah of course to design and finish up the im bob is feel of your dush kfar hoy be shabbos to sing on the boat and it was whatever shabbos I got shabbos feel hoy loch kam par sos be shabbos and nikum khutz tchum above this general question traveling going on a cruise on shabbos and yom tov you're going outside the tchum ain't tchum lamal me asara so on the ocean the machlokes that there's a tchum we pass and there is no tchum because the tchum starts from the seabed. And therefore, the water is above 10 tefachim, so therefore there is no tchum. So this object is not considered to have gone outside its tchum, because when it arrives the port on Shabbos, that's where it's koine shvisa. And if therefore you have 2,000 amos from where it lands. The mistama hamayim gavim hasar tefachim mistama l'musaflan im yesh eis tchum l'mal me'asar tefachim v'lchaim l'musaflan l'kuram l'kula. We make it when it comes to a boat. Okay, in that case, you do have to be machmir. If there's a possibility that it came from another location, from an island, and it was koinesh shvisa on a different location, and then they brought on a boat, it's not going to help you. It's outside the tchum, and you're limited to the tchum. Okay, so these are very important issues. When a person travels, he mentions before, when a person, these are relevant halachas, when a person travels, we went down the third part last week, where a person, chas v'shalom, is caught on a plane or even in a car on when Shabbos begins, and there's a snowstorm or there's a delay, and he calls ahead, and the rabbi says, keep on traveling, and you keep on going, and you arrive at a destination on Shabbos because of sakana. When you arrive at your destination, you may not be able to leave your destination. If you go to a place where there is no Erev, you can't walk out of your house, which means you can't go to shul. A person, chas v'shalom, let's say if you're in the airport, it's not very, if you're flying, it's not so simple, because if you're flying, there's no tchum l'mal me'asara. You're landing in the airport. The airport, L'Choira, is included in the city. You're in the city, right? So you're in the city. So if you're in the city, your tchum starts in, so the whole city is one big tchum. Posh pshat. You want to go say that Van Wyck, there's, and it's not so posh to say that there's a gaps. Are there gaps? I don't think so. It was a mafsik. Huh? That's what he wrote there, that book, that article I read.
That says Shishim Ruvi, and he counts the cars.
No, there's Shishim Ruvi has nothing to do with the city. That's a whole different world. There's Shishim is a Rosh Hashanah Deraisa, and then there is the question of where the city ends. Where the city. So let's assume now, for the sake of simplicity, is that from the airport, from JFK, all the way to Brooklyn, to Ocean Avenue and Avenue L, it's all part of the same city. So if a person is in a plane, if you're in a plane when Shabbos begins, there's no tchum. So when's the first time you're going to Shlisa? When the plane lands. The plane is landing. No, before them, the plane lands. Because
you're
still above Asara. Right. Not necessarily. You're connected to the ground. So the wheels are connected to the ground. The wheels are touching the ground. So you call Mechubar to the karka. You're part of the ground. You're going to Shlisa. So it's moving, and it comes to stop when it's moving. So you land L'Chara, you're still considered to be inside of New York City. If you're in New York City and the airport, they arrange, someone comes and takes you. You do nothing. They take you, and they say it's not safe for you to be here. And they put you in a taxi, and they drive you home in your luggage, and you come home to your house. L'Chara, you have no problem. You can go to shul. You have no issue. But let's say you go out of town. You go, let's say, to Chicago, to O'Hare Airport. You go certainly to these other places. Let's say you go to other places. The airport, many of these locations are outside the tchum of the city. So if you're in the airplane on Shabbos, and Shabbos begins, so where is, you have no tchum. When do you first acquire a tchum? When you land in the airport. if you they put you in a taxi and they take you to your destination where you want to be for Shabbos, on Shabbos itself you do no malacha, so where they're taking you is outside the tchum of where you have landed. You landed in the airport and you're traveling over a highway and you're passing an area where there's more than 140 amos, where there are no homes, which is a very small amount of space, and driving in a car, you're driving a car where there's absolutely there are no homes, there are no people, no structures, over let's say for 500 feet, which is not all that much when you're driving. So that means you're outside of the tchum where you have landed. I landed over here. Well, you have to also calculate what I'm saying more, because there has to be an area where there's 500 feet, and then you first start 2,000 amas. So you're dealing over here. It's whatever. Let's say it's a mile. Whatever. Let's say 2,000 amas is how many. Whatever it is, you have to make the calculations. But it's certainly the situation does exist where you land in the airport and they put you in a car service to take you to your house, and the airport is a significant distance from where you live, and you're passing territory that is outside of your tchum, and the tchum has to be a significant area. So then, when you come to your house, that's it. You're not going to shul. You're not going to shul, you're locked up in the house, the whole house where you remain is called your dalet amos, you're outside the tchum. So the same way you have that principle when it comes to you, your tchum, the same thing applies when it comes to merchandise. If you know that merchandise has arrived on Shabbos, it was on a plane, on a FedEx plane, you can track it, it was on a FedEx plane, and then it landed on Shabbos, and then the driver took it from the airport to your house to deliver it on Shabbos, and it arrives in your house. Guess what? This thing, which is a rod, they bought it for themselves, so they don't part of it. But you have a guy that did all the tracking for you and told you exactly that this thing has arrived in the airport. It came straight from the airport on a FedEx truck to this person's house, and this object has gone past the tchum more than 2,000 amas. Okay, so now you're home. Guess what? What they brought, you want to show everyone in shul what it looks like. Now, how are you going to take it from the house to shul? I'm not going to take it. A guy will take it. A guy wants to go take this object and bring it to shul to show everyone what it looks like. Can you take it? Can you have a guy take it to shul? No. Why not? Why not? Even letzarech mitzvah, why not? Because this thing is outside the tchum. An object that's outside the tchum may not go more than dalet amos. So these indeed have some strange practical applications today. Yeah.
Let's say, for clarity, a triangle, A, B, C. You could travel from A to B to
okay,
C,
that you have to,
or from A to C.
Okay,
a
so that okay, so that's a kabbalah, and that's kind of halacha. How you define the tchum? How you define the tchum? You can square it out. There are a lot of laws. That's what that article was all about. I didn't go through. He has a lot of details. He analyzed with Google Maps, JFK Airport, to understand if Brooklyn is within the tchum of JFK. Because then you have to pass that 500 feet of no structure. And then starts your tchum. And your tchum is 2,000 amos. So let's assume 2,000 is 4,000 feet. So go now another 4,000 feet where there's absolutely no structure. So that's 4,500 feet with there being no living dwelling. Do we have such a thing when you from the place when you land in JFK? JFK is all enclosed. There's a big gate around the whole JFK. That's all $1 amos. Doesn't count. And the whole airport is all enclosed. So the first time you have to start worrying about this when you get out of the airport. When you get out of the airport and you start traveling, are you ever going to come across a place when you're going to have a span of approximately 4,500 feet where there is absolutely no structure, no physical building or any type of structure. What?
If you go to Queens, you will not find it. But if you go to Queens...
So if you go through Queens, that's already saves the whole New York City, because since if you have one path and then you can square out the entire thing, so then you're in good business. So I think halacha l'maisa, you're okay. I think halacha l'maisa, the whole...
Well, it used to be on Rockaway Turnpike, there's a big open space on the side that you're driving back to New York. But now you have all those warehouses.
Right.
That, you know,
okay, so if in one location there is, it's connected, Pashto says you can square the entire area into one big square and you're okay.
Freight building.
So New York City, you don't have this problem. In Chicago, you also don't have this problem.
Right.
But in other places, in Ben-Gurion, maybe you do. The new Ben-Gurion. Now they moved out, but I don't know, they moved it out to the new airport already for many years. The new airport is so much further. It's miles and miles away. So I'm sure there is a show.
You have Shoah.
You
can walk to Kfar
Chabad to the airport.
Well, there's another issue. Even if you're allowed to go, people are not comfortable getting into a car. even though technically you can do it because you're in the tchum issue, but people, even if it's mutter, it's not Shabbos stick to get into a car and have a guy take you to your location. And if you have accommodations in the hotel, so there are people who would prefer, but elderly people or people who have children, you have little children, it's not a solution for them. They have to go to their regular home. So in that situation, so they do. Question is, now when you get home, are you allowed to go to shul? Are you allowed to move about? So in New York, it's usually not a problem. That has to be analyzed. But out of town, it is a problem. Out of town, and you go out of town, because these places, it's not as rural as is New York City. You have a lot more suburbs, you have much larger areas, and you can drive for miles and miles and miles, and there's nothing, wilderness, and then you would end up staying on Shabbos, you come for a prabah, you come on Shabbos, you have to go to the rabbi, the shul's across the street.
No.
I came here for a prabah. I arrived on Shabbos, the plane was delayed, and they drove me to the house, but I can't go to shul because of outside the tum. So the Baal HaBat will have to come to the house and daven in the house where I give my drasha. Okay, we'll take a very short break.